Our next speaker is Leslie Mickelson. I forgot to introduce the first one, Maria Boyle. She's an associate with Samuels and Associates, a consulting firm specializing in public health evaluation, research, and policy based in Oakland, California. And she works on evaluation of school obesity prevention programs and policies. And she has a range of experience in maternal and child health, food and nutrition, and policy development analysis. And her project specialty areas include policy research and interpretation, instrument design, school fiscal impact studies, technical assistance, and qualitative research, including policy tracking, environmental assessment, stakeholder interviews, and focus groups. And she'll be here for if you have any more questions at the end of the session. And our next speaker is Leslie Mickelson. She's Managing Director of Prevention Institute. As co-founder of the Strategic Alliance for Healthy Food and Activity Environments in 2001, Leslie has helped build a national movement for environmental and policy approaches to chronic disease prevention. She and the Prevention Institute team conduct policy research and analysis for the Healthy Eating, Active Living Conventions Funders Partnership, emphasizing multi-field and equity-focused efforts. Leslie.
Good afternoon, everyone. Last year, Prevention Institute celebrated its 10th anniversary. And during our great celebration, one of the guests came up to me and she said, "I just have to tell you this story. As I was driving over here with my two children, there was a lot of whispering going on in the back seat. And finally, my daughter pipes up and says, 'Mom, is this a party with your work friends?' She says, 'Yeah, why are you asking?' 'Because there's only going to be fruit for dessert.' So I want to assure everyone, we had a lovely cake, and we are not the food police, and I do not have any financial things to disclose. As my intro mentioned, Prevention Institute, and actually Samuels and Associates as well, are co-founders of the Strategic Alliance for Healthy Food and Activity Environments with five other food and health policy groups in California. We were founded in 2001, so we are now here 7 years later, and I have to say things have really changed. I mean, our goal was to ensure that when the issue of obesity was considered in California, it was not focused on individual weight loss measures solely, but really paid attention to community environments and their incredible power to influence behaviors. And I think we've seen across the country a growing movement to address different community factors. This is Salinas, California, rural community, kind of in the middle of the state, refurbishing their downtown to attract people there to walk and bike in their neighborhood. And we know this has benefits not only to get people more physically active, but to reduce air pollution, to reduce fossil fuel use, which is a clear imperative for our nation, and that it can be a real tie to economic development and revitalization of communities. And it's really this intersection that I want to keep reminding us about, because I think that is what makes healthy food and physical activity environments an amazing focal point for community-based efforts. And I think those of us in public health have a really unique role to play in bringing together the diverse partners that really need to be involved in these changes. Wanted to point out, parks are also part of this solution, and these are the lovely, one of the lovely parks in Louisville, Kentucky. And what I thought was interesting about Louisville was it had these amazing Frederick Law Olmsted designed parks, and then the funniest restaurant I've ever seen. Sorry, well, I should let you look at that for a minute more. I need to pause for the laugh. Anyway, we had to stop and take a photo of that one. Another important issue that I think we have to all address and grapple with and stand up for with community members is the incredible inequities between neighborhoods. And I showed this really to just talk about fast food as one phenomena in our society that is particularly present in low-income communities. The data is really that there's not more restaurants there, but that there's nothing else there. There's not great supermarkets. There's not a lot of places with healthy food. So this is often the major sole source for a neighborhood. And of course, the funny juxtaposition with our health messages is interesting, and that campaign no longer exists, the one above. But I think I also wanted to point out the power of the food industry in promoting unhealthy behavior is something we at Strategic Alliance also wanted to challenge. Part of the success of the movement is focused on local work, and that is why we developed the Environmental Nutrition and Activity Community Tool, ENACT. When the Strategic Alliance was first doing our thinking together, we were all, many of the steering committee founders were state policy advocacy groups, so there was clearly going to be a state legislative agenda and an agenda to take to the governor. Every lesson from public health success is that local policy and the practices of institutions is really what starts changing social norms and shifting our community environments. So we wanted to lay out an agenda, and at first we had a few ideas and then decided to really build that into the tool, the online tool ENACT, that really offers a whole range of achievable strategies for implementation and that really provided not only the strategy menu but also some links to models elsewhere, the evidence base, if it's there, you know, it's growing, and also concrete resources that people could use if they decided that was the policy they wanted to pursue. And this is a screenshot of ENACT. So if you go to the ENACT, you would go to the Strategic Alliance or Prevention Institute website and then click on ENACT, and you would get this page. And you can see we divided it into these different environments: childcare, school, after school. We thought it was incredibly important to focus on children's environments, you know, as a place people often feel comfortable making changes first. Community, of course, is essential, and a little story is we originally called this neighborhoods, and then the many people in the country from rural areas said, neighborhoods is not what our communities are about. So we actually just did this change in the last, I think, 4 months or so. Then, of course, workplaces as fundamental for change, and a very special and significant role for healthcare and government, both as work sites and as leading work sites that can often implement the changes that ultimately influence what is the pattern in communities overall. And then also, because they are both institutions that presumably are committed to the public health, also another reason that they can be early leaders. And I'm actually, what's my time? But how much time have I spent? Sorry, I just realized I forgot to look at the clock. Okay, great. So let me walk you through the tool here for a minute. Maybe I should click. Oh, that's right. I want to tell you about the uses. So there's actually multiple ways you can use it, and that includes planning. Some groups have actually gone on and used this to do kind of an initial selection of what are some strategies out there they might consider. They've decided diabetes in their community is a high priority issue, heart disease or chronic disease related to food and activity. So it just gives them a place to start to think about concrete changes. It's also an assessment tool, and I'll show you that part of the tool in a minute. And then folks can use it as an evaluation tool, something to come back to year after year. This is what the screen looks like when you click on one of the environments, and you can see here there's a list of strategies, and then there's a place where actually you can set up a user account with your coalition's name or whatever you want to name it, and have folks go online and fill this out, and fill out what do they think the priority of this particular strategy is. And what do they think the current status is in? Is it in the community? Is this something that's really not in place, which is one, or something that's really well established and maybe not an area you really need to work in anymore? So we really wanted to have an interaction function of the tool. In terms of how did we come up with this list, we conducted a national scan. We were actually a little lucky because the California Endowment was starting their work in this arena and asked us to do this for them. And we used that information to create the first ENACT list. You know, what are folks trying? And this was back probably around 2004. And then we shared that both with our steering committee and then ultimately put it out to the broader strategic alliance list, was about 300 advocates around California, and asked them to select the priority strategies. It is very much a living tool. As times change, we update it with new strategies. And we are also always interested in getting updates with examples. So please feel free to contribute, contact me. When you go into one of those strategies, you come up with a definition of whatever the strategy was, and then an example. So here's a model of what the Lockwood Elementary School Playground was doing. And if you click on this, you'll actually get their story. Tools you can use that might help you with this strategy. And then finally, in a part that's a more recent addition that we're very proud of, is it also links to an actual policy example. And again, remembering this is all local. So this, when you click on the policy, is what you get. And you can see this is the Santa Ana Joint Use Agreement and Covenant. And you get a description of the policy. And then also we have a health implications section, which for some of us is not as important, but sometimes groups really could use some help. Well, what's the language? How do I explain to my legislator that this is, or my elected official, that this is connected to health? And then finally, if you scroll down, which I can't do here, you will actually have a link to the actual policy language. We thought that was really important for folks, particularly if they're trying to work with a local elected official, to say, here's what was done in this community. Let me talk for a moment about the evidence base, because that's certainly a hot topic in public health. This tool really seeks to build a sort of, let's say, collaboration between the evidence base, which tends to be behind the actual work in public health. And I think we know with tobacco control that when someone first passed an ordinance limiting smoking to 40% of the seats in restaurants, that was not going to have an immediate public health impact. And therefore, if you evaluated that policy and said, what did that do to cancer rates in our state, you would say, well, it didn't really do anything. And yet, those policies were the early harbingers of really major changes in norms around smoking that have led to decreases in cancer rates and other tobacco-related diseases. And therefore, I think it's always good to have the evidence base, and we do include it in an act when it's there, but it's also good to push beyond the envelope and sort of use our understanding of community environments and how we think it's impacting behavior and how residents say it's impacting their behavior to come up with these strategies. So I'm going to run through a few of them quickly. Child care. Maria was just saying there was a great session on childcare. For some reason, schools seem to be the place all this work started. So it's been very exciting to see places like New York City pass policies that basically eliminate sweetened beverages from childcare, put in water and 100% juice, milk, also limit screen time, and also limit get kids out and being active. New York City actually, health department actually licenses their child care, so their health commission had the power to do this. Schools, there have been wellness policies around for a while now, and there's still a lot of effort into improving school meal quality and also getting nutrition standards to get some of the junkier foods out of school. I wanted to point out a couple things I think are kind of the new cutting edge. Is getting bottled water out of schools and really making drinking water. And you can see this is pretty nice drinking water bar at this cafeteria in Folsom Cordova. Another area that's really not been tapped yet for its potential is eliminating marketing and advertising of kids in schools. And some of you may have heard, oh, we can't regulate advertising. Well, actually, and certainly there's some challenges in doing that at the federal level, and that's where the policy power lies. But actually, schools are one place where you can make a decision to eliminate marketing to kids. So I know that San Francisco Unified has a commercial-free policy, and they have all kinds of marketing eliminated in their schools. But it could also be specific to foods, particularly if you have a nutrition standards in place. Healthcare practice is important. There's been a lot of healthcare organizations around the country incorporating not only healthier food, but more sustainably produced food. So food that is produced in ways that does not harm the environment and that provides living wages to farm workers and to farmers. Adopting policies in healthcare institutions that really promote exclusive breastfeeding is another important arena. My experience around the country is that while this is often mentioned and certainly was included in the IOM report on childhood obesity prevention, it seems to often get left out as an important strategy. And when you want to talk evidence-based, the evidence-based linking exclusive breastfeeding to better health outcomes and potentially also to obesity prevention is stronger than almost any other strategies and involves the healthcare institutions and then also workplaces. Community parks and recreation areas is another arena for action, and groups have been trying different things like figuring out how to get dedicated funding to keep parks repaired and accessible in all neighborhoods, as well as creating new parks. And I should also mention that I think it's important to remember that safety, which Maria mentioned before, is an issue that comes up over and over again. Some communities say, hey, we have parks. Everybody's afraid to use them. Healthy food retail is an important arena for action, and I'm very proud because I was in Missouri, and I am a city kid. I grew up in San Francisco. Healthy food retail is going to be different in different communities, and this is a roadside farm stand in rural Missouri that had incredible produce and had actually all the money was being collected on the honor system. Nobody was there to collect it. So there's different ways of doing health food retail, and you can find some different examples in Enact. Regional agriculture is critical, and this is really going to be one of the ways we combine both a concern about climate change and about economic development and about food access. So I'm going to just skip through this, but want to remind us again that there is an opportunity to link our concerns about health, environment, and equity in forging these solutions. New arenas for action are really around preventing violence and really ensuring the safety of communities so people really can be out on the streets. And also health impact assessment is becoming an important tool that's getting more notice around the country as a function for health departments to really think about not only new development, but about different kinds of decisions that are being made in their communities. The test of our progress is not whether we add more to the abundance of those who have much. It is whether we provide enough for those who have too little. This is Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a quote from his work in the Depression. I'm looking forward to having leadership in the federal government that will carry forward this commitment to equity and in our new understanding of it. And I really look forward to all of us being part of that movement together. You can find resources on our website, like this tool we recently developed for the Healthy Eating Active Living Convergence Partnership of Funders. It really lays out some of the most promising strategies, many of which are in Enact. And also, I wanted to invite all of you to join Prevention Institute, and I can take your card or you can drop by our booth 1014, to really think about economic stimulus in this country, because that is going to be a key issue coming up, obviously, perhaps even in the next month or two. And we want to make the case that investment in this community infrastructure that supports health is the best possible use of economic stimulus dollars. So I really look forward to us all working together on that. Thank you so much, and that's our web information.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Diana Vegas-Veen. She has been a public health nurse for the last 17 years. In that time, she has done maternal child health home visits, worked as a nurse in welfare office, and she runs a TB clinic. She's also done emergency preparedness and has most recently been doing healthy eating and active living programs with Steps to Health King County. Prior to her work in the U.S., she did health worker training in Mali and Thailand.